Orb. I'd like to welcome everyone. I'm not sure if there are any introductions needed. I think that we had a new staff member last time that was introduced. But McKenna, would you please introduce the staff that are also attending?
So we've got Brooke here today, and Brooke McCormick, she's our new representative from the AG's office. And then we've also got Kaylee Beck, myself, Christina, and Stacy, our admins.
Great. Thank you. Welcome, Nate. I see Nate just joined. Welcome. Okay, great. Well, let's get started. Thank you. The first item on our agenda. Well, Christina, is there any other introductions or any other comments as far as welcome that you'd like to provide?
There is one update. We are having technical issues in this building, so our future meetings will be held at an alternate location, and Stacy will email that location out.
Okay, thank you. The second item on our agenda is approval of two sets of minutes. The first minutes are from January 11th, 2023. And as you recall, we also had a special board meeting on March 22nd, 2023. Let's take these minutes in two sections here. Are there any questions about the first set of minutes, January 11th, 2023? Any edits or comments that need to be provided to staff? I don't see anyone raising their hand. And McKenna and Christina, it would be helpful for you just to help relay actions in the room there, since it's a little hard for us to kind of see everyone. So, not seeing any objections, is there a motion to approve the minutes for January 11th?
I would move that.
Great. Is there a second?
I second.
Great. Thank you. Let's do a roll call vote.
Lynn Damstrom is absent. Chairman Dalton?
Yes.
Chairman Slaub?
Yes.
Chairman Talley?
Yes.
Chairman Hatch?
Yes.
Chairman Dalton? Sorry, it's been a day. It's.
We had a rough morning.
Everybody's chairman today.
Everybody's chairman today. Y'all been promoted. Board member Dalton? Oh,
he's not here.
He's not here. He's absent. Board member Pope?
Yes.
Board member Lindell is absent.
No, I'm here. Yes.
There you are. Sorry.
No worries.
Board member Gearden?
Yes.
Board member Bordeggers?
Yes.
Passes unanimously.
Great. Thank you. And I just a couple comments. I don't view it as a promotion you just gave everyone. I think it's a demotion if you're calling them chairman.
It's more work in the same pay, right?
Yeah, right. And just to recap, we have just two board members right now that are not in attendance. I imagine David Damson's on his way.
Dave's trying to get on. He's texting me right now. He just didn't see the Zoom link, so.
Okay.
I don't know where to find out.
All right, so we'll have David on shortly. And then Chip Dawson's just joining. So that makes a full board when David joins. Great, thank you. And again, McKenna, we can't really see who's making motions there, so if you wouldn't mind. The motion maker, if you wouldn't mind stating, you know, who it is, that would be helpful for those of us online. The next item on our agenda is the March 22nd, 2023 board meeting minutes. Are there any comments or edits to those notes and minutes? Not seeing any. Is there a motion to approve?
Does Dean approve that we approve the minutes?
I think, Dean, you made the motion. Is there a second?
Second, Kurt Slaw.
Thank you. Motion to approve the minutes. Any questions on the motion? Not seeing any. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Board member Dalton?
Yes.
Board member Slough?
Yes.
Board member Talley?
Yes.
Board member Hatch?
Yes.
Board member Dawson?
Yes.
Board member Coach?
Yes.
Board member Lindell?
Yes.
Board member Dearden?
Yes.
Board member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. The next item on our agenda is the status of accounts. McKenna, will you walk through the status of accounts with us? Thank you.
Hey, Chairman.
Yes.
Sorry to interject. Dave just texted me and said he's waiting in the audience room. He needs to be promoted to a panelist, I believe. So
he's in timeout, huh?
Yeah, you can call it that.
Finally.
All right, I will actually turn the time over to Kaylee to go over the accounts. Okay, so at the end of the January board meeting, we had $52,404,000 remaining. McKenna sent everyone out an email with the board packet, that said that Bill 9 relinquished their funds of $9.6 million. So we added that back from the balance that we had after the last meeting. So today in the multifamily account, you have $62,004,604. There is a manufacturing project today that will be presented to you as well. And in the manufacturing account, you have $48,066,840. So it looks like there is enough funds based off the projects that will be presented to you today to fund them if you so choose.
Great, thank you. Any questions on the status of account report? Okay, great. Let's go to our next item on our agenda, and it is an extension request. And just as a reminder, I know most board members are aware, but as a reminder to maybe the new board members, it's policy, or I think it's board policy, that the first extensions are perfunctory, that we don't have a report with the first extension because these periods of time are only 90 days and these projects take longer to do than 90 days. We all are aware of that. So we do not normally have a staff report or update for any of the first extensions. However, the board can always ask questions and seek for more information on any of these extension requests. But that has historically been perfunctory with the first extension. So with that, again, this is agenda item number 4. The first item up for first extension is Utah Housing Corporation for their fully allotted amount that's statutorily set at $154,214,445. Again, Utah Housing has made a first extension request. Are there any questions about this first extension request? And also, I'd like to offer Dave Dampson an opportunity to address anything you'd like to, Dave, with regard to Utah Housing and the your single family program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I can just mention briefly, as you might guess, with rising home prices and interest rates, our single family production in item count terms is on the decline over the last several years. For several years running prior to fiscal 22, we were acquiring and servicing over 4,000 single family home loans each year. Last fiscal year, dropped to 3,105. And current fiscal year to date, we're under 1,800. We're hoping to crack 1,900, maybe if we have a strong surge here at the finish, we might crack 2,000, fingers crossed. That might not be likely. Cleon's probably chuckling in his office that I said 2,000. Possibility thinking, Cleon. Nonetheless, we always use every penny of volume cap that we're given. And obviously, we're seeing strong demand across the full spectrum, from permanent supportive housing to workforce housing to homeownership. And as you may know, President Adams sponsored a bill creating a new program, first-time homebuyer assistance. We think that's going to be very constructive and will help to promote at least some source of strength in the home buyer market, helping young families to buy their first home. So we continue to make very, very effective use of the volume cap that we have. And again, we've never not used every penny that we have allocated to us. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, David. Do we have a motion with regard to this first extension request for Utah Housing?
So before we make that motion, Chair, I have a question. Given that these are perfunctory, would it make sense that we approve this as well as items 8 through 13, just in the interest of time, or would people prefer to hear them individually?
I like that suggestion, Kurt. Let's ask the board. Do people want to hear a discussion or have questions on any of the first extension requests?
I like Kurt's idea, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As a comment, as much as I love the efficiency of kind of approving them, I also just want to make sure nobody has comments or concerns with anything. So as long as we extend that opportunity each time, I'm okay with a group approval. I would just hate to give somebody a pass, essentially, with if there were questions.
Okay. And Cameron, you're saying questions from the board and or staff?
Correct. If there's, I guess what I would say is I would always want to preface an approval with an opportunity for questions from the board to anyone, from staff to anyone. Right. If there are none, then let's proceed with a group approval.
Great. Okay. Thank you for that suggestion. So offering the board or staff an opportunity to ask any questions about any of the first extension request projects. Are there any questions from the board or the staff or any other information that the board should hear with regard to the first extension?
Well, Mr. Chair, it pains me to make such a comment, but I'm going to say point of order. And any of you that never attend Republican Party State Central Committee meetings, I hope I didn't just trigger you by saying point of order. I'm no expert on Robert's rules, but I think that it's fairly standard practice. Once the chair has taken a first and a second, or a motion and a second, to solicit comments, questions at that point. And so I don't know that it matters where it falls. I'm just saying that's an option available to you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, thank you. So we haven't had a motion or a second. It was just offering a chance for questions and discussions prior to a motion or a second. But you're right, David. You're absolutely correct. Let's consider a motion.
Well, since I suggested, I'll make the motion to approve number one, Utah Housing first extension request, as well as the other first extension requests on the agenda today, which includes Price Apartments, Liberty Corner, Silos on 500, 910 West, Lotus City Walk, and Lotus Lincoln.
This is David. I'll second.
Great. We have a motion to approve. There's been a second. Are there any questions on the motion? Not seeing any, and there are, as far as I can tell, there are not any questions in the room there. Let's go ahead to a roll call vote.
Board Member Damson?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Saw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Cope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the Magnolia. This is now multifamily housing projects. Well, we also included multifamily for the first, but we are back to multifamily housing projects for this first item. It's B1, Magnolia at Homestead. This is for a third extension request. The original allocation was $17,700,000. McKenna, would you like to walk us through this project?
Of course. So this project is based in Logan, and the developers are Wasatch Affordable Ventures. There is 140 units. There's 23 one-bedroom apartments, 72-bedroom apartments, and 47 three-bedroom apartments. The AMI on the project is at 60%. The bond request amount per unit is $126,000. The total cost per unit is $30.68 million. And the total cost per unit on the project is $219,000 per unit. When they originally applied, they were at 57%, and then they're currently at 54%. They were at 54% in January. They're now at 57. They're at 57%. In January, their extension was written wrong. The project has a business center, community room, central laundry, exercise facility, walking path, elevator, and some carport parking. I spoke with the developer yesterday, and the permits are ready to be pulled on this project. Right now, they're just negotiating between KeyBank and Citibank on their bond for private placement this week. And so they're about 30 to 45 days away from closing. They're expecting the project to be leased up quickly, as they've got another project right next to this project that leased up very quickly and has been 100% occupied since going to market. So this project is moving forward.
And McKenna, what's the staff recommendation with regard to this request?
Staff recommends approval.
Great, thank you. Board, are there any questions of staff? Let's consider a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve Magnolia Homestead for their third extension.
Great, thank you, Cameron. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chip. We have a first and a second to approve this third extension. Are there any questions on the motion to approve? Let's go to a roll call vote.
Board Member Damson?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Saw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Cope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindau?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great, thank you. Our next item is Homestake. The original allocation was for $24,500,000. There was additional allocation made on January 11th of this year. Their total current amount is $27 million. This is a third extension request. McKenna?
All right, so this project is located in Park City, and the developer is J. Fisher Co. As Chairman Crandall said, their bond request has increased from their original allocation to their current allocation. They have 124 units. There's 38 one-bedroom, 58 two-bedrooms, and two three-bedrooms. The AMI is at 50 to 60%, and there's also some market rate as well. The bond request per unit is $217,741. The total cost of the project is $44 million. The total cost per unit is $355,000. 55% is what they put on their extension request for the allocation, but that was a typo. They're at 57.5%. The project will have underground parking, washers and dryers in unit, game room, co-working space, club room, kitchen, fitness center, and on-site storage. J. Fisher Co. has entered into a private-public partnership in order to build the project. The city is very on board with this project and doing what they can in order to have the project built to meet their plans for affordable housing. In addition to the ground lease, which is below market rate, they also have deferred developer's fee, Olin Walker, and an IHC loan, as well as a Park City funding loan. They just received approval from Park City Planning Commission, and they're going to City Council in May or June to finalize the ground lease. After that, they'll move into closing on the project. There's some soil remediation that needs to happen from the city, and then they'll be able to close on the project in July or August. The cost per unit has increased by 12%. If the total cost increase per unit by 15%, the board does have the power to revoke the allocation. So they are getting close to that increased amount. And staff recommends approval.
Great. Thank you, McKenna. Are there any questions of staff, McKenna? Not seeing any or hearing any. Let's consider a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, David.
Is the developer available for a question?
Yes. Where would you like him?
Why don't you just come to that empty chair?
Good afternoon, board.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you. This is David Damption. I just have a quick question for you. We looked at RS Means over the period, or at least a period that approximates the period between your prior request and today's request. And the RS Means construction cost data doesn't support or doesn't really align with an 11% increase. So I'm just kind of curious how, if you have a feel for how to speak to that or how to explain that. Just a question.
Happy to. So my name is Ryan Davis with J. Fisher Companies. Our hard costs actually have not increased by 11%. That's total project cost. The majority of the cost increase that we're experiencing is an interest rate rise and the associated interest rate reserve that's required to close on this loan. We have an interest rate reserve that takes us through construction as well as an interest rate reserve that'll take us through stabilization. Since we put together our initial numbers, we're up somewhere, I believe, between $2.5 and $3 million on interest rate reserve alone, which is the difference from going from almost a 0% index rate on our construction borrowing to almost a 5% index. So the RS Means numbers, I believe, correct me if you disagree, are more hard cost oriented.
No, that's absolutely right. And that's a perfect clarification. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. Any other questions? We have a recommendation from the staff to approve. Let's consider a motion.
I make the motion to approve the Homestake third extension.
This is David.
Great. Go ahead, David.
David will second.
Great. We have a motion by, I think it was by Curtis Koch, second by Dave Damption, to approve the third extension request for the Homestake project. Are there any questions on the motion? I don't see any. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Board Member Damption?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Shaw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Cope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Good luck with your project. The next item on our agenda is Syracuse Affordable. The original allocation was $45 million, July of 22. That project received a $3 million additional allocation in January. This is the third extension for Syracuse Affordable. McKenna?
So Syracuse Affordable is located in Syracuse. The developer is Wasatch Residential. It is 300 total units. There's 61 bedrooms, 182 bedrooms, and 63 bedrooms. And it's a mix of townhomes and condos, a unique project that way. The AMI is at 60%. The bond request per unit is at $160,000. And then the total cost per unit is at $89 million. The total cost of the project... is at $89 million. The total cost per unit is at $298,000 per unit. Sounds better. The project is currently sitting at 53.5%. It's a very large project. It's 120 apartments and 5 buildings and 180 townhomes and 36 flex buildings. Community amenities include a fitness center with cardio resistance equipment, yoga, pool, sun deck, outdoor barbecue, seating areas, and fire pit. The financing includes an Olin Walker loan, a small deferred developer's fee, and a utility rebate in addition to the traditional financing. There was a gap in their financing, and the developers might want to speak to that more, but they actually applied for $2 million more of Olin Walker in the meeting right before this, and they were approved. So they are now hoping to close and start construction in the next couple of months. And staff recommends approval.
Great, thank you. Any questions from the board on the report?
Mr. Chair, this is David. I don't have a question, just a couple quick comments. I'm really happy to see we're getting a project like this done in Davis County. And I really like the mixed type of the project. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, David.
Mr. Chair, just a clarification on the additional Olin Walker funds. So there were 51% and then 53%. Is the 53% now after the Olin Walker funds or after our additional?
So that's currently just where they sit with the bond for how much bond they're requesting per total cost of the project?
Correct. So the change from 51 to 53 was after we.
After the additional.
Did the additional.
In, okay. Yes, in January, they requested additional.
And are they still at that? Is that where they stand today or has that been revised?
Yes, they're still at that.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Let's consider a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the extension request for Syracuse Affordable.
Thank you. Is there a second? I didn't hear.
Sherry Durden will second.
Thank you, Sherry. We have a motion to approve and a second. Are there any questions on the motion to approve? Not seeing any. Let's do a roll call vote.
Board Member Gamson?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Slaw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Pope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great, thank you. Let's go on to our next item, which is Silvercrest, 53 units. The original allocation was $8,550,000 back in July of 2022. This is the third extension request. McKenna?
This project is located in Ogden, and the developer is the Salvation Army. There's 150 units, 52 one-bedroom units, and one two-bedroom unit. The AMI is very low. It's at 30 to 45%, and this is a project geared towards elderly residents. The bond request per unit is $200,000. The total cost of the project is $17 million, and the total cost per unit is $115,000. Currently, they stand at 51.5% on the 50% test. This is one four-story building that will serve elderly residents most in need of financial affordable housing. There will be amenity spaces to accommodate on-site activities as case management, services, service coordination, social gatherings, recreational activities, educational workshops, a wellness and exercise room, an outdoor garden area with raised planter boxes, and a library. The financing includes a HUD 202 CA loan, sponsor loan, deferred developer fee, and a Salvation seller land note, as well as a Olin Walker. They're still waiting on the HUD Section 202 funding announcements. Award announcements should take place in June of 2023, and then the project will be able to close on all their financing in September, if awarded.
So, McKenna, it looks like from the timing that there'll be a fourth extension request from the timing you just provided. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of staff? Okay, let's consider a motion. Where's Ricky? Ricky
just I have no questions, but I will move that we approve the third extension request for Silvercrest.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Nate. We have a motion to approve the third extension request for Silvercrest. Are there any questions on the motion to approve? Hearing none, let's go to a roll call vote.
Board Member Damson?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Saw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Pope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great, thank you. Our next item is the Howick project. Original allocation was $30 million in July of 22. This is a third extension request. McKenna?
So the Howick is located in Mill Creek, and the developer is Blue Line and CDC Utah. This is 150 units, 41 one-bedrooms, 40 two-bedrooms, 41 three-bedrooms, and 28 four-bedrooms. The AMI is at 30 to 60%. The bond request amount per unit is at $200,000. The total cost of the project is $56 million, and the total cost per unit is $378,000 per unit. They're currently at 53.5% at the 50% test. This has changed from what they put when they submitted their extension request in February, since they didn't have a lender at that time, but they're getting closer to closing and have been able to finesse those numbers. This is one building in Mill Creek within close proximity to the track stations and bus stops in a transit-oriented development. Community amenities include a playground, community center with computer room, kitchen, and workout room with equipment. There's a deferred developer fee of over $2 million, only Walker loans, utility rebates, and a loan from Salt Lake County. They're pushing to close mid-July. Lumet is the lender and is on board, and the investor is ready. They're working on one final issue with the city, and then they'll be able to submit their drawings for permits. And staff recommends approval.
Great. Thank you, McKenna. Are there any questions of staff? Not hearing or seeing any, let's consider a motion.
This is Dean. I would move that we approve the third extension for Howick.
Thank you, Dean. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great, thank you. We have a first and a second, a motion to approve. Any questions on the motion to approve the third extension? Not seeing any, let's do a roll call vote.
Board Member Damson?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Slaw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Cope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. The next item on our agenda is Glendale Gardens. It's right. For, pardon me?
Whoops. Finish your sentence, sorry.
Have I made a mistake? Are we on Glendale Gardens? No. I'm sorry, Ken, I didn't hear you. Are we not on Glendale Gardens?
We are. I just got ahead of myself. I was ready to go.
Okay. I'll be quick, McKenna. Glendale Gardens, this is the second extension request for $16 million. McKenna.
All right. This project is located in Salt Lake. The developer is Mana 7 Charities and TCV Industries. It's 120 units, 24 studios, 72 one-beds, 28 two-beds. The AMI is 60%. The bond request amount per unit is $133,000. The total cost of the project is $33,554,947. The total cost per unit is $279,000 per unit. When they originally applied, they were sitting at 50.07% in the 50% test. In January, they were at 50.06%, and they're currently at 50.07%. So they've been able to regain their 0.0% in the 50% test. The project is two buildings. It includes a game room, exercise room, computer room, TV game room, and wellness room. And they are moving forward on the design stage of the project. After that design stage is finished, they'll submit the drawings to the city. And then they've got a bit of a funding gap that they're looking to figure out, but they're still planning to close winter of 2023. And staff recommends approval.
Great. Thank you, McKenna. Any questions of staff? Not seeing or hearing any. Let's go ahead and ask. I'm asking for a motion here on Glendale Gardens.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Nate. Is there a second?
Second, Kurt Slaw.
Thank you, Kurt. We have a motion made and it's been seconded. Are there any questions on the motion to approve?
Chair, I did have a question of the developer, if that would be appropriate.
Of course.
They're online. We're gonna.
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
So in the explanation for extension request, I was hoping you could give us a little bit more detail. It says that you're still completing due diligence items, architectural plans, and financing. Are you... Should we be concerned that the cost will change if the architectural plans are still in flux?
Well, based on the construction market, I think things have settled down. I think based on the comments you heard from the representatives of Jay Fisher, the financing costs may be an issue for us. So, honestly, we may be coming back for a slight increase in our bond allocation based on what we're seeing, like other developers on the bond costs. We have asked the contractor to give us an updated bid, so he is working on that currently, but we don't have those numbers yet. But the design itself hasn't changed significantly, so we don't think it will be a significant change. Did that answer your question?
It just gives information to the board.
And maybe a point of clarification, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Of course.
Peter, you said you will look to finalize that and potentially come back for additional data. I guess I'm just confirming that your intent is to keep it as close to that 50% threshold and only come back if that is the required need for additional bond cap?
Correct. So, you know, we don't want to ask for more than we need or more than the financial institutions will require us to obtain. So, I think by the next extension request, I hate to say we'll probably have to ask for one, but by then we should have a clearer picture.
Okay, thank you. Maybe a clarification with staff. Timing-wise, maybe it's for you, Peter, I guess, as well. Just making sure that timeline will still work for you. So if you have to wait for the next meeting to receive additional cap, will that put the project, will you still complete on time? Essentially the question.
Yes, at this point. You know, the biggest issue is always getting your plans approved once you've submitted the final plans. We have plans, preliminary plans submitted to the city for zoning and design review, but otherwise, you know, it really depends on how long it takes the city to get through the entire permit set and make comments.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, I apologize. That's the questions to the motion that I had.
You never have to apologize, Cameron. Okay, did we have a motion to approve? I think I was asking for a motion to approve.
I believe we had the motion and the second.
Okay. Cameron, are you satisfied?
I am absolutely satisfied, and we can proceed with the roll call vote.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote.
Board member Damshin?
Yes.
Board member Dalton?
Yes.
Board member Slough?
Yes.
Board member Talley?
Yes.
Board member Hatch?
Yes.
Board member Dawson?
Yes.
Yes.
Board member Lundell?
Yes.
Board member Dearden?
Yes.
Board member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Let's go on to our next item, which is the Moda Greenwell project. The original allocation was $27,550,000 in October of 22, and this is a second extension request. McKenna?
This project is located in Ogden. The developer is J. Fisher Co. The number of units is 176. There's 68 one-bedrooms and 108 two-bedrooms. The AMI is at 60%. The bond request amount per unit is at $156,534. The total cost of the project is $52,652,895. And the total cost per unit is at $299,000 per unit. When they originally applied, they were at 55.69%. They're now at 53%. This project is located in downtown Ogden. The city discounted the land to facilitate affordable housing for this project. Citibank submitted a letter of interest for the project. And this project is moving forward quite quickly, actually. So they are currently going through closing calls right now, and they're expecting to close the first half of June. And staff recommends approval.
Great. Thank you. Any questions of staff? Hearing none, seeing none, let's consider a motion on Moda Greenwell.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the extension request for Moda Greenwell.
Thank you, Sherry. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chip. We have a motion and a second to approve the second extension request for Moda Greenwell. Any questions on the motion? Not seeing any or hearing any. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Board member Damshin, sorry.
Can I speak for board member Dawson as well? Because I'm happy to. twofer. We could do a twofer. It's more efficient that way. I say aye. I say yes.
Denied. Board member Damshin.
He just voted.
He didn't.
Well,
that's his second vote.
I vote early and often. I say yes. I vote yes again.
Hey. Board member Dalton?
Yes.
Board member Slough?
Yes.
Board member Talley?
Yes.
Board member Hatch?
Yes.
Board member Dawson?
Yes.
Board member Colt?
Yes.
Board member Lundell?
Yes.
Board member Dearden?
Yes.
Board member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. And Stacy?
Sorry.
You're doing a great job. Don't worry. We're all good here. Let's go on. As everyone recalls, we already approved the first extension, so we can skip that part. And it looks like we are now to item number 5, the new volume cap requests. There are 2 multifamily requests and 1 manufacturing request. Let's go ahead to the multifamily housing projects, the first one being Spark. McKenna?
Perfect. So you may recognize this project. They've been here before, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. So this is for Spark. The developer is Bryn Short, and it's located in Salt Lake. They were originally allocated $42.6 million in November of 2021. They requested an additional $3 million in July of 2022, and they closed on their bond in December 28th of 2022. In January, though, the city came back to them and said that there's significant work that was needed to be done on the sewers. They started to get estimates and ended up coming back to staff on February 9th to let staff know that additional cap would be needed in order to meet their 50% test. The number of units is 200. There's studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms, three bedrooms, and four bedrooms in this project. It's quite a mixed project. The AMIs are also quite mixed in this project as well, going from 20% AMI to 80% AMI, and then there's a mix in between as well. The bond request amount per unit is $25,000 per unit, is the current request. $25,000 per unit based on their current request. If you do a total of all of the bond cap together, it's $253,000 per unit. In October, right before they closed on their total cost, they were at $92.9 million, and they're currently with their cost at $95.7 million. Without the sewer increases, they were at less than 51% on the 50% test. With the sewer increases, they're below 50%, and with the additional cap, they would be at 52.07%. This is a mixed-use, mixed-income, transit-oriented development. The development features a 10,000 square foot child center, a community garden, garden pavilion, 4,000 square feet of flex space for commercial use, public retail court, children's outdoor play area, outdoor barbecue grills, fire pit, courtyard, and bike rack. It includes an RDA loan, city home, Only Walker, Salt Lake County home, and seller's note from the RDA. As stated before, they closed on their bonds on December 28th. They were trying to close before their GMP with their general contractor expired. So they were working hard to close that before those guaranteed maximum prices went up. They are requesting $5 million today in case of unexpected cost increases with the sewer project, because you'll never know what you'll get once you start digging, but they have also agreed to relinquish all bond allocation over 51% at the time they close on the new bond cap. Staff recommends approving.
Thank you, McKenna. Christina, did you have any additional comments you wanted to provide on this one? We've talked, it's been over a month, but I know you had done some research on this as well.
Yeah, these costs are unfortunately the unknown prospect of developing, and this isn't an anomaly. I think as we redevelop more in downtown Salt Lake, you will see projects that are going to be faced with increased infrastructure costs that they did not anticipate. It's a function of an aging system, quite frankly. So hence our recommendation to support the project's request.
Thank you. Dave Damson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say this is a good project, and I think It might be argued that the city was untimely in advising the developer of the sewer issue. So this is very not like many of these other volume cap increase requests we've seen, where it's financing costs or development costs based on inflation, unforeseen. That's all been fairly common and comparable. This is not comparable. This is something that came to light. The city, again, was possibly or arguably untimely in advising the developer of this requirement. So I would just encourage board members to consider that. It's a good project.
Thanks, David. Are there any other questions for the staff?
Chairman, the developer is here if you have, if anyone has any questions.
Great. Let's invite, who is representing the developer?
That's David Brind from Brindshore.
Welcome, David. You're welcome to join us at the table if you haven't, or you have, I can't see. Welcome. Any comments you'd like to provide, David?
I don't think so. I'm happy to answer any questions. I think the staff handled it well. I just did want to clarify, since it is, you said that we agree to return any bond cap
over 51%.
Over 51% at what point in time?
At the time you closed on your bonds is what your letter said.
At the time we closed on this next tranche of bonds?
Yes, on the $5 million. that you're being allocated?
I'd like a little bit of flexibility on that because I don't know whether where we'll be depending on what the costs are, on the project. So
we, after you close on the bond, they're out of our hands. We don't get them back.
I understand.
So it would have to be any amount that's returned to the board would have to be before you closed on the bonds.
Can we have a little more flexibility on the 51%, maybe 51.5%? Because I don't know what the timing will be exactly with closing on the bonds and having all the final costs associated with the sewer work that we won't really know until we get into the sewers. So we'll have a bid, and then you never know.
So. I'm curious, did McKenna, you received a letter and this was an offer made in the letter, or was this a request by staff for this particular consideration?
So this was a letter from Renshore given to staff that said that they would return any bond volume above 51% of project costs. The construction lender, also Goldman Sachs, is holding a taxable TEL construction loan to cover costs between construction completion and conversion. So we will not require any additional tax-exempt bonds above 51% to complete the project. We hope that this commitment shows our good faith in requesting the additional $5 million for Spark, and we are appreciative of all the support the PAB board and staff has given the project thus far.
And we were trying to use a minimum of your precious cap, so we were trying to figure out a way to be able to return some cap if we didn't use it. And like you said, once we've closed, I don't think there's a mechanism for returning it, except that the only thing that I'm worried about is that we'll get a quote, the contractor's quote, and then once we get in the ground, we have to go 1,700 feet in order to get, at least, to get to the sewers. We don't know what we'll find.
So the original quote submitted from Renshore to staff for the sewer work was approximately $4 million. Has that since been updated?
We're waiting for city staff's comments back before we can get our final bids back.
For sure.
And then have to deal with easements. So things are in flux.
I would say that it's up to the board on where they fall, any stipulations added to the allocation. So that is up for board discussion.
So Mr. Chair, just a point of clarification. My understanding is we cannot require them to return any bond cap or relinquish any allocation. I mean, obviously it's letter of intent. So my approach is, we understand the spirit of what you're saying, and I think with your comments today, we can either request a revised letter or simply take that into account that the intent is to revise, return as much as comfortably possible, estimated 51.5 range. But with good faith, we would approve the request today, and then
we'll communicate with staff.
Communicate to staff.
Well, as we get into the project, have final numbers, make sure that our lenders and equity investors are comfortable. And like I said, if we need less, we'll close on less.
Dave Damson, you have your hand up.
I just never took it down from before. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
My virtual arm is pretty tired, though. Thank you for pointing that out.
All right. So, Cameron, you made some comments there, very valuable comments. Are there any other questions of staff or the developer at this point in time?
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions.
Yes, Ricky.
And this is probably of the developer. It's just looking at the – you were talking about the project cost increases, and I noticed the profit and overhead costs increased by 30%. Can you provide a little bit more information on what is entailed in the profit and overhead costs?
Profit and overhead is a formula that agency will allow. We didn't realize any additional profit, but we were able to keep it in basis. So when the costs go up, we're allowed to, by IRS rules, allowed to charge additional developer fee, and it's really developer fee, it's not overhead. And then we defer the differential. Okay. We can include it in basis, generate more equity.
Okay, and then the second question then is syndication costs. I don't know, what is that made up of? It's, I know it's not interest rate, but why that one went up 752%.
How much is it?
Syndication, $453,000.
Well, our investor was willing to pay $1 for the project, which was significantly more than everyone else, but our investor also wanted to hire a law firm that doesn't know the meaning of the word not charging. So I think their legal fees were $250,000. So after I swallowed hard, considering the amount of equity they were putting in, I really couldn't say much about it. But it is, you're right, that's a big one. But they paid for it, effectively. So, and they could have paid 99 cents and taken it off the bat, off the sheet.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ricky. Any other questions? Before we proceed to obtain a motion, Kaylee, would you just remind us that when you went through the status of accounts, you made comments about what we had available. We are obviously talking about new volume cap requests. We have two multifamily housing projects and one manufacturing project. Would you just remind the board of our available cap for multifamily and manufacturing?
Yeah, so for multifamily, you have $62,004,000, and for manufacturing, you have $48,066,000.
Great, thank you. So we have, it's unusual, we have plenty of cap right at this moment for these projects. Since we are not competing, since we do not have more requests than we have available cap, I'd like to suggest that we take the multifamily projects as separate and vote on them as they're presented. So to that end, let's consider a motion for the Spark $5 million request.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yeah. Yes.
The motion then is to allow for the $5 million, and there will be nothing else, no other conditions attached to that.
Is that what you're suggesting from a staff recommendation?
That is what I'm suggesting. I think in good faith, if there is any cap that they don't need, I would hope that it would be returned. We'll look further into our ability to actually have any of those 51% or any of the additional stipulations on a motion. We're not sure legally if we can do that, so I would suggest the $5 million flat with no other contingencies.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Not hearing or seeing any, let's consider a motion.
Mr. Chair, this is David. I'll move that we approve Brinshore's request for an additional $5 million in volume cap without any non-customary conditions. Does that sound okay, Christina? Something like that?
Sounds lovely, yes.
Thank you, David. Is there a second to the motion?
Cameron, I'll second.
Thank you, Cameron. We have a motion to approve. Are there any questions on the motion to approve? Not seeing any. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Board Member Damshin?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Saul?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Cope?
Yes.
Board Member Lindell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Good luck, David, on the project.
Thank you, folks.
The next item on our agenda is the Skyline Apartments. McKenna.
All right. So Skyline Apartments are located in Layton, and the developer is the Hampstead Company. The bond request amount is $19,367,000. It's 112 units. There's 112, and all of the units are two-bedroom units, and then there's one manager unit. The AMIs are between 50 and 60%. The bond request amount per unit is $172,919 per unit. The total cost of the project is $37,338,822. The total cost per unit is $333,382 per unit. And they're at 52.12% in the 50%. This is a rehab project. It's 8 two-story residential buildings. An attached laundry room and a community center will be built and contain a leasing office and maintenance shop for the project. The buildings were built in 1973, 74, and 78. The property is currently under low-income housing preservation and residential homeownership act contracts, which expire in 2037 and 2039. The developers have submitted a request for a new 20-year preservation HAP contract. The project does include a temporary relocation plan for the current residents during the construction process due to the plumbing scope of work. The amenities include include two modern play areas and bike racks. The tax pricing is better than the national average of 90 cents on the dollar. This project is at 97 cents on the dollar. And the staff recommends approval.
Thank you, McKenna. Do we have someone from Hampstead here representing the developer?
We should. Let me see if they are online. So, Stacy, will you let in Brent Murray?
Hi, McKenna. I believe Jeff Jallo is also on as well.
And Jeff Jallo.
McKenna, could you introduce the folks from Hampstead?
So on the phone, we've got Brent Murray, and as well as Jeff Jallo, one of the owners on the project.
Great. Welcome, Brent and Jeff. Any additional comments you'd like to make on behalf of your project?
Yeah, this is Jeff Jallo. I just want to say that we're excited to be moving forward on this. We recently completed a similar acquisition rehab called Midshore Manor. We have virtually all the same parties, same investor, same lender, same contractor on this. So almost everything's negotiated, ready to go, just down to the final details. And we expect to kick off with construction by the end of May or early June. So we're moving forward here pretty quickly. And we have permit approvals and everything.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Board, are there any questions of staff or Jeff or Brent from Hampstead?
Just one question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ricky, of course.
This is in relation to other income. Your other income is dramatically lower than most entities that come to us. Just curious about that, realizing that your net operating income is pretty healthy compared to others, but why the low other income?
Yes, that is based off of historical information that we've received from the seller. So we are planning, in terms of other income, it's mainly just laundry income. So we're basing it off of historical operations.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions? We have a staff recommended approval of this project for $19,367,000. If there are no other questions, let's consider a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would make a motion to approve the Skyline Apartments allocation for $19,367,000.
Thank you, Curtis. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second. Heidi.
Hi. Thank you, Heidi. We have a motion to approve the $19,367,000. Are there any questions on the motion? Not seeing any. Let's go ahead to a roll call vote.
Board Member Downshin?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Slough?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Hall?
Yes.
Board Member Lundell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeckers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Jeff and Brent, good luck on the project.
Thank you all.
The next and final item on our agenda for approvals is the manufacturing project, Spore Mountain. This project we have seen before. The developer is Ares Strategic Mining. McKenna, as you go through this, will you might remind the board of the last time this project came and was presented and tell us why that was pulled in addition to your report? Thank you.
Of course. I'll address that towards the end of my report, if that's all right. So this project is located in Millard County. The developer is Ares Strategic Mining, Inc. The bond request amount is $10 million. The project details are that the bonds will be used to fund the development of a manufacturing plant near Fillmore and consist of a 6,000-square-foot manufacturing plant, a 970 material storage area, a 1,400 finished product storage area, a 1,000 square foot office space area, and a 500 square foot research space, which will total about it will total 9,870 square feet. The Spore Mountain deposits began production in 1944 and have continued to present. It is the only imported source of fluorspar in Utah, reportedly yielding 320,000 tons of fluorspar material until 1980. These deposits are considered to be high-quality deposits. Presently, there are no other active fluorspar mines in the U.S. And this is the only classified critical mineral that is 100% imported from non-U.S. sources. They did include reports that examined all federal, state, and local permits, approvals, and requirements, and reported, and the report concluded that the water, air, and wildlife issues will not be impacted by the mining activities nor the manufacturing activities. The initial capital cost has been budgeted at $14 million, of which $4.7 million will be used for equipment to process the end product. In their projected base case scenario, their lowest debt service coverage ratio would be at 3.6 in 2004, which would be during the construction period. That would then spike to 5.09 in 2026. A good DCR should be above 2.0 for most industries. The higher the DCR, the more likely a company is able to pay its creditors. Their proposed project does have a higher than average wage for the area's average median income, and the company would be looking to sponsor local school and athletic programs as part of its commitment to that community. Sherry, go ahead and remember to hold them to that. They plan to implement training programs for non-skilled labor to provide them with transferable skill sets, which would be deployable in any mineral processing operation. The company will pay a percentage of a medical plan, and the building design will be energy efficient to benefit the public. The terms of the bonds are expected to be a fixed rate between 8 and 10%. So their original application last year had an anticipated rate between 4 to 4.5%. And they're anticipated to close if they receive this allocation between April or May. So last year when they first applied in January, and there were some threshold items that weren't met. So they reapplied and received allocation in April. And then it took them a minute to get everything in order to be able to go to market. So they were finally able to go to market with the bonds in November, December. So late November, early December, they were able to go to market. And then they found an interested party. But because of the due diligence period of that,
they weren't able to close with that interested party before the third Saturday of December, which is when manufacturing projects are required to either be closed or to relinquish or to have their bonds taken away. So they did choose to relinquish before that third Saturday in December. There is still some residual interest in the offering from the December offering period. And the manufacturer did have that interested party in December to purchase the bonds. So the manufacturer has stated that the deal will look even more attractive as Ares is able to close on the USDA loan prior to the PAB loan, prior to the PAB bonds. They do have a preliminary limited offering memorandum ready to go to market immediately after receiving the PAB bonds, so they're quite confident that they should be able to close in their anticipated closing period, which is April to May. So staff recommends approval.
Great. Thank you, McKenna. And who is here or online representing the Spore Mountain Group?
So we have a few different parties online representing. So we've got the CEO of Ares, James. We've got their CFO, Victoria, and we've also got Jason Burningham, who is one of the consultants working on the project.
Great. Welcome. Are those folks added? Are they in the room or are they added virtually?
Yep, they are virtually.
All right. Well, let's make sure they're added and let me know when they're added to the.
They're on.
Oh, great. Welcome. Any comments that you'd like to provide in addition to what staff has provided the board?
I think McKenna summarized everything very nicely. It is important to note that we did run out of time with an interested party, but since we have had a couple of months to work on a project since we were finalizing that that bond placement, we have improved the attractiveness of the project further to any person interested in buying the bond. We have bought additional industrial land, closed on some financing, bought a plant and delivered it to site, as well as structural steel. So placing the bond, we anticipate, should be a lot easier now.
Great. Thank you. Board, are there any questions of the company or the staff with regard to this request, $10 million for Spore Mountain?
If I could, Mr. Chair, this is David.
Of course.
I just wanted to confirm, so it looks like Millard County would be the issuer?
That's correct.
Okay, and then also just to clarify, Mr. Burningham is serving as a municipal advisor, is that correct?
That's correct.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you.
Chair,
Ricky?
I guess the first one isn't so much a question. The weighted average hourly wage is looks like that was overstated just a little bit. The actual weighted average is $45 an hour if you take the number of employees at the wage, at the hourly wage. But my question deals with the comment section said that there are approximately six employees employed by the current mining operations on that site, and that Ares will be retaining them at their current salaries, which total $336,000. I calculated that out. That's only $56,000 per employee, which is just under $25 an hour. Just curious if you're going to bring those existing employees up to the at least the semi-skilled $42 per hour wage, or why that number so low.
So principally for those six employees, they were employed on a part-time basis, and the accumulated money that was being paid to them was not for a full-time job. Once we get into full production, they'll be brought on full-time, and that will spike a lot more. They are skilled labor already. They're senior geologists as well as senior geotechnical persons, but their rates will very likely exceed $60 an hour mark.
That totally makes sense. And then any support of local high schools, I think, should also include their local accounting club.
<I think that's> I don't think we can make that as a stipulation. Sorry. Any other questions of the folks from Shmore Mountain or of staff with regard to this request? And Sherry, this is down in your county, is that correct?
It is, yeah.
Great. All right, with that, let's consider a motion.
So Cameron's telling me that I need to make the motion, so I'll make the motion to approve the Shmore Mountain bond request for $10 million.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
You have to second that now, Cameron, after putting the pressure on Sherry. All right, we have a motion to approve. Are there any questions on the motion? Hearing none, let's do a roll call vote.
Board Member Dampson?
Yes.
Board Member Dalton?
Yes.
Board Member Slaw?
Yes.
Board Member Talley?
Yes.
Board Member Hatch?
Yes.
Board Member Dawson?
Yes.
Board Member Cope?
Yes.
Board Member Lundell?
Yes.
Board Member Dearden?
Yes.
Board Member Bordeggers?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, everyone. And good luck to the Shmore Mountain folks on your placement of the bonds.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you all.
Our next item is item number 6, other business and adjournment. And I'd like to look to Christina. Any other business, Christina, that you'd like to address?
No, not at the moment. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Cameron.
So we made the comment earlier that there's some uncertainty as to whether we can or cannot add stipulations or requirements onto a conditional approval, essentially. And so I would like to ask that we maybe ask our AG to consider that and report back at a future board meeting on what we are or are not legally allowed to do.
I'll look into
this. You know, just along those lines, Cameron, this question was raised with regard to the 50% test. And I think there might be some folks in the room that knows this calculation very well. I can see Dave Miner behind you, Cameron. But my question is that 50% test only at closing of bonds, or is it at the end of construction or some future time?
It's after in the construction once all the costs are known.
So really, along those lines, Dave, so just for the group, what Dave said is that test is required at the completion of construction. Is that right, David?
That's when it's done, but investors and lenders want to know that you're going to pass it before they start giving you money. So you have to show that you've got a little margin there as you been closed, and 1% is a very small margin of error. And the point they made here is that if interest rates go up, that's going to increase your basis, your construction cost, and we can't control that. And so it makes sense to leave a little more room on in that calculation. Everyone's standpoint.
Thank you, David, for that additional information. I think that was important for all of us to hear and be reminded of. So when the 50%, when we talk about turning back allocation prior to bond closing, that's really difficult in that that test isn't really completed until at the end of construction, as Dave Miner just suggested. So I don't know if that's helpful information, but that's something we should all remember.
So, Mr. Chair, is that why then some lenders require a minimum of 53% or something like that, just to build in that cushion?
Because that's my understanding. And along these lines, I know McKenna and Christina have done some survey work with regard to other states and what the percentage maximum that other states have done. We do have, as a board, a percentage maximum right now. McKenna, maybe just a couple comments about some of the research you've done with regard to those maximum percentages.
So currently at the time that I did my research, which was last August, there were 3 other states that had maximums, and that was at 55% is where they were capping projects.
And then there was one state that was capping at 57%, I believe. So there's four states with caps. We added ours last year, which is at 58%, although we do give some bonus points on our good standing criteria if developers can get below 55%. So we kind of wanted to ease in gently in that with our development community. We'll have a chance to re-examine that at our retreat this year, but just to see where our developers would fall with that maximum and then with the incentive to fall below 55%. And what we've seen so far with the submittals that we've received this year is that they're all falling below 55%.
Thank you, McKenna. I think that's helpful information for all of us to remember, and we'll be prepared for that discussion in the board retreat. Any other comments from staff or board prior to adjournment?
Mr. Chair, can I just ask a quick question just to follow up on our March 22nd meeting?
Of course.
I'm assuming that the Nest at Rio Grande, everything, they did make timelines, and since we're showing that that money is out the door?
They closed on April 11th.
Good for them and us.
Good question. Thank you, Curtis. Great. Well, our next meeting is July 12th again. And as always, thank you to our great staff, and thank you to you as the board for your service and efforts. And we look forward to seeing you all again on July 12th. We are now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.